Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Martha was serving. Well, somebody had to serve, somebody had to prepare the food, and somebody had to provide and to serve the food in that home. And this is tremendous, important, of course, to serve the Lord. And of course, service always flows out of being occupied with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Whenever we are occupied with God, we can also serve Him and minister unto Him and unto His people. Remind us of a verse that is written in Hebrews chapter 13, where we read in verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." To serve is essential for the people of God as we are serving Him and living for Him here in this world. But not only to serve Him, service often flows out of fellowship with the Lord. And this is also, beloved brothers and sisters, an important lesson that we learn from the fact that Lazarus spent the time to sit with the Lord Jesus the Messiah at the table, speaking with Him, conversing with Him, having fellowship with Him. And this is important, as the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ, with His Son, Jesus the Messiah." So we learn that with Martha, we learn about the serving the Lord. With Eliezer, Lazarus sitting along with the Lord at the table and enjoying communication with Him, there we learn from Eliezer the necessity of having fellowship with the Lord. But what about Miriam? Notice that. What did she do? She took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. We can see the attitude of worshiping Him. He is, after all, was the one that the promised Messiah. He is, after all, is the one that revealed Himself to this family as the Redeemer who would come to this world to provide redemption. He said of Himself, "I am the resurrection and the life." He is the one who raised Lazarus, their brother Eliezer, from death. And that's why Miriam was so overwhelmed with who He is, and she sought to worship Him. The writer to the early Hebrew believers said in Hebrews chapter 13, again, in verse 15, he said, "By Him," namely by Yeshua, by Jesus, "therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." In other words, let us never forget to worship the Lord, to offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually by and through the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah. And so in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, we see this little family there next to the town of, to the city of Jerusalem, in a little town called Beit Onya, and there they made Him a supper in that evening. Wonderful to see. And you notice that, my dear friend, when Miriam poured out this ointment of spikenard, very costly, what did she do? She poured it at His feet. the feet of Yeshua. And then what does she do? She takes the hair of her head, which represent the long hair, represent the glory of the woman. And she, what does she do? She wiped his feet with her hair. Imagine what an attitude of heart Miriam have had. What an attitude of heart Miriam have had. This is fascinating, beloved brothers and sisters, and notice that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Why was the house filled with the odor of the ointment? It was an expensive, a costly ointment, but the thought behind this is that whenever we have fellowship with the Lord, whenever we serve the Lord, and whenever we worship the Lord, there will always be an order of aroma, of the order that rises up from who he is. In fact, while we see here that the aroma that rose up was because of the ointment, but in reality, the aroma that rose up here is because of the person of this individual whose name is Yeshua, God the Son. You know that in Mark chapter 14, we find out the same scene here, and the house was the house of Simon here, and he was Simon the leper. We do not know who was that Simon the leper. It may have been a relative of the family. It may have been maybe a husband of one of Martha. We do not know. Shimon. Here it says Shimon the leper, not to mix it with Shimon the Pharisees in Luke chapter 7, but we find here we don't have the name of the of Miriam, but we hear that a woman, this is verse 3 of Mark chapter 14, she took this box of ointment, but she poured it on his head. It's amazing to think how every gospel present the person of the Lord and what was happening in his ministry here from a different aspect. Mark present him as a servant. John present Yeshua the Messiah as the eternal Son of God. But we learn from here the importance, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, is simply to have these three, you might say, three important lessons for each and every believer in Jesus the Messiah. We need to be like Miriam in sitting at his feet and worshiping him. We need to be like Eliezer in sitting in at the table with him and having fellowship with him. And we need to be like Martha, who is there ministering unto him and serving him and his people. These are the aspects of the ministry of every true believer in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. We are to worship the Messiah, Yeshua. We are to fellowship with the Messiah, Jesus, and we are to serve our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And what a privilege it is for all of us to serve our Lord Jesus the Messiah. This is a privilege that we have as believers. You remember what David said many, many years ago as we think about this costly perfume that Miriam poured upon the feet of our Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, we read in verse 24, we read, "And the king said unto Arunna, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at the price, neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing." So David bought a thresh floor of the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And you know that threshing floor of Ornan, there was David erecting an altar. And David built an altar unto the Lord, and he offered burnt offering and peace offering. So The Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. In other words, David said, I'm not going to offer unto the Lord that which is not going to cost me something. And here it was a costly ointment, expensive one, but the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And as we move along now, of course, there is someone like Yehuda Ishkriot, Judah Iscariot. And you notice in verses 4, 5, and 6, we read the contrast between Miriam, who was a true worshiper, and Judas, or Yehuda Ishkriot, who was a false individual who was not even a child of God. We read, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, in Hebrew, Yehuda Ishkriot, Yehuda, the man of the suburbs, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Judas, Yehuda, really care not for the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. What a contrast. A true child of God seek to worship the Messiah Jesus, seek to serve him, seek to have fellowship with him. But others, such as Judas, who was there and he was really one that could not care else, neither for the Lord Yeshua, neither for the poor. He was, according to this verse 6 of John 12, he was a thief. He didn't care for the poor. He had the bag and bear what was put therein. What a contrast between the child of God who loved the Lord, who loved God and loved the Messiah Yeshua, and another one who is unregenerated individual who ultimately betrayed the Lord and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. How different between Miriam and Judas Ishkriot. And as we move along now, beloved friend, dear brothers and sisters, we read in verses 7 and 8 the words that the Lord Jesus the Messiah said to the guests that were there, in the friends of the family, the friends of Miriam, Martha, and Lazarus. Notice what he said to them in verses 7 and 8. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. In other words, the poor among our people of Israel was always going to be in the midst of the nation of Israel. And the poor will always be here in this world in which we live in today. But the Messiah was there for this short time before he is going to the cross, where he will pay for the sin of the world. The poor need to be taken care of. The poor need to be loved and helped. God have instructed Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 15, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt open thine heart wide to thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. We are to open our hearts to those that have a need. And this is the, in every period of time in the history of men, the poor need to be cared for and remembered. But the poor shall never cease out of thy land, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, when God spoke to Israel. Here is the Messiah here, again in the land of Israel. And he's saying the poor is always you will have with you, but me ye have not always. Why did he say that? Because our Lord, the Messiah, of whom we read in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 8, we read of him himself who became poor. You remember what he said of himself in Matthew chapter 8? He said to the people with him, with whom he communicated, he said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was that poor one that came into this world in order to provide redemption for mankind, but he became poor in order that we might become rich, and therefore he was on his way to the cross, where he will be the one that will redeem us unto God and will pay for the sin of this world. You remember what Shaul Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And sure enough, he was that poor who was on his way to the shameful cross to pay for the sin of this world. And so he said to all the guests there who came to the home, he says, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Imagine that Miriam poured out the ointment of spikenard, which was very costly, and anointed the feet. Here in chapter 12 of John, the head in Mark chapter 14 of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, wiping the feet with her hair. She did this when Yeshua was still alive. Later on, after his death, we will read that he was anointed after Nicodemus took him down from the tree, and they anointed him after his death. But she did that. Miriam did it while he was yet alive. How precious it is to learn from Miriam. May the Lord help us to learn from these three individuals, to worship him as Miriam did, to have fellowship with him as Eliezer did, to serve him as Martha did. What a privilege we have to do today, because our time on earth is short, is limited. Soon will the Master come and he will take us to be with him in glory. And then we are going to have fellowship with him, and we are going to worship him, and we're going to serve him throughout eternity. But here and now, when we have the privilege to do it in the day of his rejection, may the Lord help us to do so and not to be like this one, Judas Iscariot, Yehuda Iscariot, which had no idea, no love for God, no love for Yeshua HaMashiach, no love for the one who came to this world and claim that he cared for the poor. What a sad commentary we see here about this person by the name of Yehuda. But on the other hand, the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And I would suggest it's not so much even the ointment. It is the thought here is the whole house was filled with the odor of the person of Yeshua the Messiah, God the Son, who loved us and came to this world in order to provide redemption for you and I, my dear friend. And the whole world one day will be filled with the order of his person. He is the one who is the joy of the heart of those that have trusted in him. He is the one, the Redeemer, the Savior of this world. And so we continue in now verses 9, 10, and 11. The interest of the many people in the person of Jesus and the person of Eliezer, whom he raised from the dead. We read in verse 9 we read, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Eliezer also, whom he had raised from the dead." Notice that many came to the home. Many came to the village of Bethany, because not only that they were interested to see and to hear the words of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, but also to see a man that was once dead for 4 days. And they wanted to see, is he alive? Is he alive? As we have heard that he was alive. And surely enough, they came and they saw Eliezer, because after all, the one who said, "I am Ani, I am the resurrection and the life, the great I am," raised him from the dead. So many came. Many people that were there came not only to see the person of the Messiah, Jesus, but also Eliezer, whom he raised. And we read in verses 10 and 11, but look at the contrast. The chief priests consulted that they might put Eliezer also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believe on Yeshua. Notice that. What can you say? Eliezer was dead for 4 days. Yeshua came and said, "Eliezer, Lazarus, come forth." Eliezer came forth. And he was raised. So many came and they saw one that was dead now alive. And so they believe on the Messiah. Now you notice that here we read that many believe. We don't read that Yeshua did not commit himself unto them, as we read earlier in chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. And so those that have believed here, people who were sincerely believing on him, yes, they have seen that the miracle of the resurrection of Eliezer, but we don't read here that Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew what was in their hearts. Well, I'm sure, and we have a confidence, he knew the hearts of all. But apparently, they came and they believed on him, and the chief priest now wanted not only to put to death Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, but also Eliezer himself. How sad was this situation in the hearts of the chief priests who consulted together against the Lord and now also against Lazarus. And so in verses 1 to 11, my dear beloved friend, we read of the Lord Jesus is presenting himself there at the home of Mary, Miriam, Martha, and Eliezer for a time of dinner, of supper, where they ministered to him and worshipped him, and the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. How important it is for us as well, both individually and collectively in our home and collectively with other believers, to worship the Lord, to have time, to spend time with him, and also to serve him here in the world in which we live in. Now, as we move along here, from verses 12 to 19, we notice now that the Lord presenting himself now, relating to a different group, and this time, the group not so much from Bet Onyao in the home of Lazarus and his sister in Bethany, but here, he is communicating and relating to the people who came to celebrate the feast of Pesach. And so verses 12 to verse 19, we see the triumphal entry of the Messiah into the city of Jerusalem. To remind you that Bet Onya is 2 to 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, come down from Mount of Olives, down crossing the Kidron Valley, climbing up to Mount Moriah, and so it's very nigh to Bethany. And so we find out the next, notice that, verse 12, we read in verse 12 to verse 16, the entry to the city of Jerusalem by our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And so we read in verse 12, the coming of the multitude of the Jewish community to celebrate the feast of Pesach. We read, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Again, to remind you, in the same chapter, John 12, 1, then Yeshua, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, the next day passed by, the following day, he is now entering into the city of Jerusalem. The next day, many people that were coming to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they now were preparing to receive him in the city of Jerusalem. In verse 13, they cried, Hosanna, as he was approaching the city of Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Notice that the word Hosanna comes from two Hebrew words. Hosha means save. Na, save now. Please save. Save now. And you notice that the individuals, the people that came from all over the north and the south and the east and the west and even outside of the land of Israel coming to keep the Feast of Pesach. To remind you that God commanded the people of Israel when they would be away from the land to send delegation, male men would approach the city of Jerusalem 3 times.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.